in a time of great unrest. A misguided faction of brazen wannabes gather together. Their goal? Comedy. Their qualifications? Non-existent. They want Pluto reinstated as a planet. They are, without conscience or taste, they are the Unprofessionals!
Oh, hello, Mary. How you been this morn?
Been down to see the calves. Get your boots off the table. I just washed that down.
How are the calves going?
Oh, healthy. Doing well. Same old, same old.
How's Jimmy?
Not so good.
Still not going to school?
No, I caught him down backfields the other day.
Oh, aye.
Doing drugs.
Oh, Mary, when you said those calves were doing well, I didn't think they'd got to stampede in a boot.
Well, I... Oh, come in.
Hello, I'm David Cameron. Since becoming your Prime Minister and the controller of the BBC, I thought I'd come along and say hello to all you chaps and chapettes. Hello, Mary.
Oh, David, you look so well.
Isn't it?
Is it not wonderful, all these things you're doing by top slicing the BBC and allowing it to become a commercial provider rather than the unruly public service? Why, Dan, you no longer have to pay for your TV licence.
Thank God.
Yes. We want to give power back to local communities with decentralisation, devolution and empowerment. We've now made this station an empowering state rather than an overpowering state.
Well, you're doing brilliantly. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Dan. We really appreciate it. Right, we're off. Toodlepip.
Oh, what a nice man.
Well, there goes all our calves.
Greetings, good sir. Bonjour. Salut. Auf Wiedersehen. Welcome to the Greengrocers.
Hello.
And what produce do you wish to procure this fine winter's morning? What of our fantastical fruit and virtuoso vegetables do you wish to purchase? A humble apple, perhaps? A well-proportioned banana?
Well, I don't know whether you would have one of these in stock, but I'm looking for a pomegranate.
Did you say that you were seeking a pomegranate?
Yeah.
Then follow me through this door, dear sir.
Why? What's behind the door?
Sir, if the pomegranate is what you seek to obtain, then you must follow me through this large iron door.
Okay.
I think you're going to like this pomegranate. It was handpicked by my favorite blind son.
Great.
Mind the bees.
Morning.
Morning, Gary.
Passport. All right, go ahead.
Nearly there. Not far now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
here or there, always epic. Nearly there. Behold, sir, the pomegranate.
That's a mango.
Oh, sorry, it's my first day.
Aye, Doctor, not very nice. Been conjuring up not very nice things from my not very nice lair for the last 30 years, and at last, I have the ultimate plan. All I need now is my simple sidekick, Lucinda, to help me initiate it. Lucinda! Lucinda!
Yes, Doctor, not very nice. What is it I can do for you?
Listen to my monologue.
Very well, sir.
My latest plan is so ingenious, there is no stopping us. I've created the kill stuff beam. The ray gun stopped the rafters with so much nuclear energy that by the flick of a single switch, the Earth's core will be destroyed, causing a tidal wave of magma energy, causing the entire planet to crumble into complete and utter oblivion. Together, we can destroy the entire planet!
But then we'd have nowhere to live.
Great!
So what do we do now, then?
Well, I guess we have to come up with a new plan.
Very well, sir.
So, we need an evil plan, but not too evil, like the last one.
We could rent out every copy of The Lion King from every rental store and refuse to give them back.
I'm not sure that's evil enough.
If you have sex with me, I won't give consent.
That one's just weird.
Stop! I'm Captain Awesome, superhero, and I'm here to stop you from doing your evil bidding.
Well, I haven't actually got around to doing anything yet.
Oh, well, I guess I'll come back in a day or two then.
Yes. We should have something by then.
Good. Good.
Speaking of which, you wouldn't happen to have any ideas of evil things we could do, would you?
Gee whiz, let me think. Rob a bank's a classic. Kidnap a hot girl and hang her from something. I'd appreciate that, actually. Kind of embarrassing, but haven't been so good in the pool lately.
There we go. Well, you pick a fit one, and I'll kidnap her.
Then I'll save her, bag myself a date.
Pleasure doing business with you. We should really change the carpet in here.
And now on BBC Radio 4, to celebrate 45 years of the oblique, urbane and the cosy, we join Nicholas Parsons as he bids you...
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, hello and good evening! As the Minute Waltz fades away, it is my great pleasure to welcome you here at BBC Broadcasting House, that beautiful Art Deco building right here in the very heart of old London town. And it is my great pleasure to welcome four very bright, talented, humorous individuals of this game. On my left, we have... What are you doing? Yeah? Who are you? No, you can't...
Hello, I'm David Cameron, your Prime Minister and the new controller of Radio 4. And I'd like to welcome you to Just a Minute. Let me introduce four really great guys that we're all going to have a great time chatting about stuff, and that for a good full minute. On my right, we have Security Advisor to the Prime Minister, that's me, the Right Honourable Baroness Neville Jones, DCMG PC. And there we have Jeremy Hunt, the Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport. And on my far right, we have George Osborne, Chancellor of the Exchequer, and Boris Johnson, Mayor of London. And please will you welcome them all. So, Baroness Neville Jones, will you take the subject of my mother's favourite blouse? And so your minute begins now.
Well, of course, my mother had a rather big blouse. You could say it was a big girl's blouse, her favourite, in fact. It had a lovely leafy motif. Oh, leaves. The tree. Tree of knowledge. Oh, the reason the Conservatives logo is a tree is because...
Boris Johnson, you buzzed in.
Ah, yes. Ah, well, I have to say, repetition. Sorry, your missusness.
Successful challenge, but not for the leadership. So that's 54 seconds of my mother's favourite blouse. Your time starts now.
Whiff-whaff, bum-fumbles.
Baroness Neville Jones.
Hesitation.
Aww. Silence, mortals.
Bum-fumbles.
All right, Noah. What is it you need this loan for exactly?
I intend to construct an animal sanctuary.
Have you got planning permission yet?
No. But it'll be moved shortly after completion.
Sorry, do you mean the completion of the actual structure?
Yes, sir, that's right.
You're sure you don't mean you're going to move the building site?
No, I'm going to build it and then it's going to do a lot of moving around.
Well, I'm sure you have your reasons. With that in mind, it might be worth asking for a bit less. Are there any corners you can cut? Do you really need life rafts?
Oh, yes, definitely. But I have saved money on the interior walls.
How?
There aren't any.
What, none? Not even to separate the animals? That's bound to cause problems.
Such as?
The animals eating each other, for one thing.
Now, I was worried about this, but rest assured, all the animals will be properly trained, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the unicorn isn't a particularly strong animal.
Now, it is somewhat lacking in offensive capabilities, but as I say, shouldn't be a problem. I can't foresee anything bad happening to the unicorn.
Another problem is that you're intending on protecting every type of animal.
I don't think it's fair to choose which one will live and which ones will die.
That's a bit melodramatic, isn't it? Just because you don't have them all under your roof doesn't mean they're going to die.
You say that now.
And two of each animal seems a bit specific, given the incredibly wide range of species there are. One of each would probably suffice.
Words cannot describe how pointless this whole exercise would be if I only took one of each.
Look, I'm sure all bosses can be slave drivers at times, but you are micromanaging after all. How unreasonable can he be?
Well, he's not exactly famed for his forgiving nature.
What do you mean?
Well, when somebody kills the firstborn child of an entire civilization just because he doesn't like their ruler, well, it sends a very distinct message.
I'm sorry, sir. There's just no way I can give you this loan.
Pretty brave of you.
Is that a threat?
Not from me. From him.
Thank you. I've had enough of you and your imaginary friend.
He's pretty vengeful. You have been warned.
Vengeful? I work in a bank. What's the worst that could happen?
And coming up on BBC 246, it's CSI Bournemouth with Detective Arnold Caro and Constable P.T. Yates.
Wait, what we got?
Looks like another burglary, sir.
Is he dead?
Who?
The victim.
No, sir, he's just over there.
Right.
Did you want to ask the victim any questions, sir?
Yes, I did, Constable. You there, victim.
Yes, officer?
This robber.
Yeah.
Did he kill you?
What? No.
Maim you?
No.
Hit you?
No.
Jump you?
No.
Threaten to jump you?
No.
Did he call you any nasty names?
Oh, wait, No.
What sort of pansy murderer was this?
He was a burglar, sir.
General physical description?
Male. Medium height. Medium build. No feature-specific descriptions.
Not even a hair colour?
No.
Armed?
Yes, sir. Two of them.
What calibre?
Quite skinny, apparently. Oh, were you referring to the weaponry, sir?
Yes, I was, Constable.
Ah, then no. They weren't armed.
He was actually pretty pleasant, really.
Oh, shut up!
Sir, please. Perhaps it would be better to ask the victim what has been stolen.
Victim, what was stolen?
Nothing.
Saw you when he burgled.
Well, he took some paper clips. But I don't really mind. I had too many, I suppose. So only fair.
That's it, I've had enough of this. You, Constable, go find me some murderers.
But there aren't any in Bournemouth.
Then kill somebody, I don't care. I want bodies, damn it, bodies!
But we have the lowest crime rate in England, sir. I would have thought you'd be happy with that.
Don't be so stupid, Constable. A detective is nothing without some ne'er-do-well to chastise or some quirky one-liners to throw about whilst he wades gallantly into the festering pit of scum and villainy.
There's always Plymouth.
Ah, go away, Constable, I need to think. And you, Mr. Victim, go buy yourself some expensive jewellery and stand in the town square. See if you can get yourself mugged or something.
That was CSI Bournemouth, the show that proves that high crime rates are good for British television. Next week on CSI Bournemouth, Detective Caro fills in a form and Constable Yates chokes on a Twix. Excitement like this can only be found on BBC 246.
Look, Rollo, this is all your fault.
Yeah, blame it on the big man.
No. It's not blame it on the big man. You've been head of the boat club for a year now. You should be aware of the responsibility involved.
I was.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course you were. Why else would you decide to hold a boat race slap bang in the road? Town centre?
Right, look, I lost my bearings a little bit.
Lost your bearings or had absolutely no conception of what a boat race is?
All right, Stacey, what are you, a critic? I don't think Club Secretary can give much criticism.
Well, I certainly wouldn't stage a boat race on concrete.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't buy second-class stamps. But you didn't hear me complaining, did you?
One time!
Yeah, and once is all it takes.
Well, look around, you numpty.
Rollo, you're in over your head. I always said the club chairman votes needed recounting.
Right, don't have a go, John. Okay, I bloody love boats, and I've had this one since I was five, so don't...
We all love boats, Rollo. But we generally love them in water.
Great, thanks for your support.
Look, this is stupid. Get Dave back down here with the lorry to pick the boats back up.
I can't.
Why not?
He's meeting us at the finish line.
Where's that?
Top of Tom Burt's Hill.
If you'd gone to Eton like the rest of us, we wouldn't be in this mess.
This Tuesday at 9, Freak TV presents The Man Who Smells Like Paper, the exclusive fourth episode of a brand new documentary series. Look, laugh, and feel better about yourself.
We get up close and personal with poor Damon Crab in order to learn more about his difficult life.
Damon, can you tell us when you first realised that you smelt of paper?
About 2 years ago, I was in a queue at a coffee shop waiting to buy a coffee. The woman behind me suggested that I smelt of paper, and it's really sort of escalated from there.
I imagine it's quite an embarrassing infliction.
Oh, yes. Just the other day at work, my colleague, Professor Clumblesmythe, needed some paper to print off a document. He couldn't find any to do his printing, but he was convinced there was some in the room because of the strong smell of paper, which turned out to be me.
Learn all about the many problems that smelling like paper incurs.
People often attempt to doodle on me when they're on the phone. Once I helped out at a school for the blind, and one child tried to use me as paper. His crayon was sharp, and it was quite hurty.
Sometimes Damon's infliction has been responsible for violence.
There was this one time when a man with a severe phobia of pamphlets smelt me and thought I was a pamphlet distributor and hit me in the face. But the worst thing that ever happened to me was about a month ago. A short-sighted bookbinder tried to put me in a bookbinding machine. The latest novel by Dan Brown got printed all over my face, which was very awkward in church the next day.
In what can only be described as the emotional climax they tag on to a documentary to make it feel slightly worth it, we talk to Damon's mum to find out what she thinks the future holds for Damon.
What do you think the future holds for Damon?
Not much, to be honest. I mean, have you smelt him? It's exactly like paper. He hasn't got a future. I guess I'm going to have to rely on his brother Terry to work twice as hard so they can both afford to live.
Terry, how do you feel having to work twice as hard to pay the bills for your disabled brother?
It will be difficult, but the job centre is currently helping me find a job that has wheelchair access so I can get in. Hopefully, then I can help my brother with his terrible condition.
The Man Who Smells Like Paper. This Tuesday at 9, only on Freak TV.
Hello and good morning. These are our top stories. Nothing has happened. News agencies around the world have been baffled by the complete lack of anything to report.
However, nothing has been confirmed because nothing is happening. With more on this is our reporter, Robert Winklebottom, in a non-specific location as nothing is happening everywhere, thus making his location completely irrelevant. Robert?
Thank you, Claudia. Can you hear that?
What?
Exactly. Nothing is happening. I went out earlier to ask the public what they thought of the current state of non-affairs.
And what did they have to say, Robert?
Well, nothing.
When did this all begin?
There were early signs yesterday when all long-running news stories came to a conclusion. Today, however, it has been difficult to pinpoint exactly where nothing happening happened.
Thank you, Robert. Robert Winklebottom in a non-specific location.
Now we go over to our panel of experts to discuss the situation. Gentlemen?
Hello. Hello.
Gentlemen, do you have anything to add?
No.
And now the sport.
Nothing has happened in the football, nothing's happening in the rugby, and nothing's happening in boxing. We did have a light-hearted report lined up on the International Staring Competition Championships. However, we deemed it inappropriate given the current state of non-affairs. Back to you.
And now to Carl with the business news.
All of the world's currencies have stayed the same. The markets and the FTSE 100, the DAX and the Dow Jones and the Dow Egberts have stayed the same.
Wait, we can confirm that the Dow Egberts is not a stock market, but a brand of coffee.
Is it news?
No. It's just a confirmation of a previously existing fact.
Oh, balls.
Why won't something happen? Why, God, why?
Wait. We have just been made aware of some breaking news for which we can cross back over to our reporter, Robert Winklebottom, in a non-specific location. Robert?
Yes, the world's largest chinchilla has been born.
Where has this happened, Robert?
We believe that this has occurred in Taiwan. Or maybe Laos. Or possibly Borneo. How should I know? I'm actually in Stockport.
Can you describe what these creatures look like, Robert?
Well, they sort of look like a mouse, crossed with a much bigger furry mouse. I really see this story running and running. Back to you.
BBC Radio 7.
Coming up later on BBC Radio 7, we have the 837th airing of last week's Now Show. But first, who's moving in on Hancock's Half Hour?
On this bed is an horrible collection of cotton and springs. It's really digging into me unmentionables. Well, this couldn't get much worse, can it?
Labour.
Who can that be?
Oh, hello. I'm your new...
David Cameron.
Mate, who is this room?
Affordable housing.
Oh, bless my days. How can it be that I go halfway across Europe?
A thriving community with a common aim.
To end up next door to my neighbour.
It's just fate, isn't it? Now, stop missing that.
What have you got there?
Photos. Yeah, whenever I go on holiday, I always get really lonely. So I have photos of...
Hugely successful, independently managed NHS board to regulate the service.
So don't be sad.
But they're all of...
Conservatism is brilliant. Yeah.
You...
Yeah, I'm an orphan.
Oh dear, how very...
A year for change.
I'd like to thank you all for coming today to remember my dear husband Arnold after his tragic passing. I know he loved so many of you that he wanted me to play you this to remember him by. People always made fun of Arnie for carrying a tape recorder everywhere. Oh, how we used to laugh. But because of my husband's tedious insistence to record every moment of his life, we have this record of how he died. I was not able to identify Arnold's remains at the coroner's office, but thank God for the tape. We knew it was him. I'd recognize that scream anywhere. On roller coasters, when we hit speed bumps in the car. That time that spider crawled on his pillow. That beautiful scream. Oh, Arnie!
He's so getting how I started! Oh, he ruined my shirt! Oh, most of my skin's on the floor!
God damn it, it's 4 hours till this magazine goes out. I don't have any good pictures. Get me photographer. Take a seat. Listen, photographer. I know we haven't always seen eye to eye, especially after you humped my wife's leg at the Christmas party, but I need your help. I've got a magazine full of celebrity stories, but no photos. You're the best photographer I have, so get your furry butt out there and scour me some snaps.
Thanks for hiring this sleazy hotel room for me, Mr. Producer. I can't wait to show you my portfolio.
No problem, kid. Now just take off your clothes so I can measure up for a photo shoot. Suggestive wink.
Huh?
Oh my God, it's photographer! Quick, get away from the window or I'm ruined! She's not my daughter, I swear!
Hello, Prince Haribo!
Hello, Cecil. What jolly larks we shall have this evening. Look, I've chosen to go clubbing dressed as well-known war criminal Slobodan Milosevic.
Oh, how very amusing, Your Highness! I'm sure that were the press to get hold of this story, it would have no negative repercussions for the royal family whatsoever!
What a comical notion! Ah! My reputation!
These pictures are fantastic, photographer! Especially the one of the X-Factor finalists in the shower. How did you get this one? Well, you've done a fantastic job, photographer, and saved this magazine in less than 20 minutes. But there's one thing left I must ask of you. I've heard on the grapevine that there is a new bar and a young star that's sunbathing near the park. Can you... You're one hell of a guy, photographer.
You there. No dogs allowed in the park without a lead. I don't care who you work for. No lead. No park.
Will photographer ever get his scoop? Will the unjust municipal lead laws be changed? And will photographer ever realize that wearing a flea collar does nothing to hide his secret identity? Find out next time on Photographer!
This is the news with Controller and Prime Minister David Cameron. David Cameron was today David Cameron when he David Cameroned. Here is David Cameron in Westminster. Dave, what can you tell us? David Cameron. Can you tell us any more? David Cameron. David, thank you. That was the news at one, Cameron. Now, here's the weather with George Osborne.
Overcast for the next 5 years.
The Unprofessionals star Darren Britton, Caitlin Evans, Aaron Ferguson, Henry Fosdyke, Sophie Petzl, Sean Pogmore, and David Ruddock. It was written by Charlie Boddington, Darren Britton, Chris Cosentino, Joe Devine, Aaron Ferguson, Andrea Miller, Scott Payne, and Sophie Rose Petzl. Scott Payne was the creator and head writer, and the show was produced by Andrea Miller, with production assistance from Lee McIntyre.
And now, choreographed figure skating from Eastleigh.
Hello? Mother!